We're pumped up. Oh, there it is. Was it me? It was me. Okay, it wasn't the devil. All right. Typical Christian, right? The devil did it. No, fool, it's your fault. Well, good morning, Christ Church. How's everybody doing this awesome, beautiful morning? Hey, real quick, can we give it up for our friends who are watching online right now? So excited to have them here with us. So excited to interact with you guys. And also, just to let everybody know, today is a special day. We started it last week, but we're continuing it this week. After our 11 o'clock service, I know this is at 9:30, but if you happen to have some time, now you got to get home and watch the game later on, but if you happen to have some time, we are celebrating baptisms today. It's a big deal. Listen, you get excited for Baker. I get excited for the kingdom, all right? You get excited when Nick Chubb scores. I get excited when people go in the tub. Ooh, I meant to make that rhyme. That was me. That was all me. But here's the real cool thing about baptisms today. Today, we're celebrating baptisms, and they are college kids who are being baptized. There are college kids who are saying yes to Jesus. Listen, we are intentional when it comes to us reaching the next generation. Because as we always say, they are the church for tomorrow. We are intentional about reaching young people from kids to high school all the way to college to invest in them, to disciple them, and to move with them in the journey that God has called them on. So if you got time, maybe you can get home and watch it on your phone, watch it on your laptop. But we're going to be celebrating baptisms, and we're super excited for it. Well, today I get the privilege and the honor to continue in the series that we have been in for the last several 22 years, it feels like. We are continuing in the series, The Sermon on the Mount, and I'm excited for today's message. I'm excited for today's topic. We're almost done with the sermon series. We're almost done with the Sermon on the Mount, but I don't know about you, but every time I hear a message in this specific series, it does leave me a little bit convicted. As a matter of fact, one of our awesome worship leaders, Jackie, said, every week I'm always convicted to do something new. To establish new habits, to establish new rhythms in my life. And that's what the goal is of the sermon series, is for us, not that Christ is trying to condemn us, but Christ is trying to convict us, because conviction moves you in the direction of your calling and your purpose and who God calls you and I to be in our lives today. Now, today's topic I'm excited for, but before we dive into that, I want to tell you about a guy who I've been following, one of my favorite athletes. His name is Zach George. He's actually a CrossFit athlete, if you're in the world of CrossFit. One of the reasons why I love watching CrossFit is because I love watching people do stupid things for the sake of just hurting themselves. But anyway, I love this guy. I love watching him. I came across this video where he talked about his early years in CrossFit. And he talked about at one point how he was struggling to complete this exercise, and he was trying to hit what they call a PR. Now, a PR means a personal record. It's a milestone, a max weight for a CrossFitter. And he said, man, I struggled to complete this exercise and to hit my max weight, and I didn't know what I was doing wrong. He said, day after day, I struggled with it. Day after day, I would try to do it, and I would try to complete it, but I couldn't get anywhere. I couldn't manage it. I couldn't complete the task. And then one day, his buddy came in, his friend from out of town, and says, hey, man, I think you need to just create a new rhythm to be able to do what you're trying to do. I think the main thing that you're trying to do, you just need to create a new rhythm so you can be able to complete this task that you're trying to do in your life. And I thought to myself, man, how many of us know what that's like to have real struggle in our lives? And one of the places where we struggle with, and one of the places where we can kind of feel like we all have this in comparison, is this thing called anxiety. One of the things, thank you, somebody's alive over here. Somebody's like, thank you, Jesus. He's talking to me today. And day after day, we all struggle with this thing called worry. And day after day, we all struggle with this thing called stress. And day after day, we all struggle to try to get over or try to manage or try to deal with the fact that anxiety is real in our lives. That anxiety seems to pop up and it tends to dominate our lives. And it's interesting that every single year, there's always a new book. There's always a new podcast. There's always something to come to help us to deal with it. But I believe as the scriptures are true, Christ doesn't want you to deal with just your anxiety. He wants you to overcome your anxiety. He doesn't just want us to just create new strategies just to deal with it. Christ actually has the antidote. Christ actually has the message to overcome the anxieties that we have in our lives. This is the premise of our message today. Christ invites us into a life free from anxiety dominating our lives. Christ is going to invite us into a life where anxiety isn't controlling us. Because here's the truth. The one thing I want you guys to know, the Bible never says that we will never have anxious moments. The Bible never says that. God isn't even shy to just remind us that, hey, there's going to be moments where you're going to have some real fear and worry in your life. But the clear cut in what Jesus is about to say in the Sermon on the Mount, the clear point that he wants to make is that I don't want you to be controlled by anxiety. There's a difference between facing it and allowing it to control you in your life. Now here, let me make a clear separation before I move forward. A lot of us need to realize that the anxiety that Jesus is talking about is the anxiety where we begin to project negative images, negative things, negative futures, and the anxieties that a lot of us struggle and go through, we got to realize sometimes God is leading us to see people, right? Let me just be very clear about that. The anxiety, God is just leading us to, hey, we need to go and see somebody. We need to make sure we check in mentally with people, with professionals, whatever it may be. It's important for us to do that. You know, a lot of us deal with it in a clinical way. But what Jesus is going to talk about, he's going to talk about the anxiety that we get into a place where it paralyzes us. Because doesn't anxiety sometimes feel like that? The anxiety feels like, you know, you just feel paralyzed. You don't know what to do. Maybe you've had an anxiety attack before. Maybe you've had a moment where you didn't know what the next step was. And here's what Jesus wants to offer us is a way that actually works to overcome the negative images that we are projecting in our lives. And I want to turn to this passage, Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 25. Before I go there, you know I got my Bible drill, right? Who's got their Bibles with them? There we go. Nope, ma'am. Nope, I don't count that. There she is. Yeah, that's a nice turquoise Bible. I like that. That's a cute Bible. I like that. We're going to be reading through the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is going to talk about the issue of anxiety. Isn't it awesome? The Son of Man, God himself, talks about the thing that most of us struggle with. I love that Jesus goes to the places where we like to hide. I love that God loves to go to the places that we like to suppress. And God's going to go to this place of anxiety and not just give us something to how to deal with it, but give us a way to overcome it. Give us a way so it doesn't dominate our lives. Give us a way so we're not captive to the thoughts that we have in our lives. Because I find this interesting. Most of the reason why I have anxiety, because I'm always thinking about a past I can't change and a future I can't control. Has anybody been there before? That's where anxiety grows. Anxiety grows between a past you can't change, right, and a future you can't control. And you know how people tell me, Javon, stop worrying about it. Like, that's the worst thing anybody could ever tell me. And the fact is, when people say, Javon, you're not in control, and I say, listen, I know I'm not in control, but I can't control my want to take control. Anybody ever been there before? I can't control my want to actually take control. And so Jesus is going to give us a much better way of how to deal with it, not at a surface level, but at the root of our anxiety. Let's open up Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Let's jump right into it. Jesus gives us these amazing words. He says this. Therefore, now here's what I want you to know. Anytime you see in the Bible the word therefore, stop and see what it's actually there for. Because what Jesus is saying, what he's saying is, in light of what I just said, what did Jesus just say? If you remember last week, we talked about the idea of not serving money and God at the same time. And isn't it funny how Jesus comes out of the topic of money? Because a lot of us can realize most of our anxiety is around our finances. Like, right? I mean, most of our anxiety is around a lot of our finances. And what Jesus is going to get to a point, he's going to get to a point where you can't serve the things of this world without ever not being anxious. You can't allow your life to be centered around certain things and expect not to have real anxiety dominate your life. And so he says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? It's like Jesus is telling like a dad joke. Like, which one of you can actually do this in your life? And God's sitting there like, that's nothing to me. He said, which one of you can add a single hour to his life? Verse 28, and why do you worry about your clothes? Consider how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his glory was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you have little faith. Let's continue on. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles strive after all these things. And your heavenly Father, there's a theme going on, and your heavenly Father knows what you need, knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself, and today has enough trouble. Jesus is going to give you and I a clear way, a fresh way of how to really overcome the anxieties that we have in our lives. And I find it interesting that Jesus goes to the place where a lot of us are struggling with. Now, let me talk about this idea of this, what anxiety really means biblically. Anxiety means that you're torn between what's going on now and a future that you're projecting in your mind. Now, here's the thing. There's a difference between worry and concern, right? Worry and concern. Like earlier this week, my son got sick, and how many of us know when toddlers get sick, they get sick for like 2 years? It's like the most ridiculous thing ever. Now, when he got sick and I noticed that he started showing symptoms, the wise thing would be what? Take him to the doctor, right? The stupid thing would be like, you know what? God's going to provide, and God's going to take care of him, and he'll be fine. Let's just throw some holy oil on him, and he'll be okay. That's not, listen, that's called a genuine concern. But the worries that Jesus is talking about is the worry. Catch this. I love this. It's the worry. I love how J.C. Ryle describes it like this. Worry is the dark room where negatives are developed. Worry is the place where we begin to project this negative future time and time again. And he says this, he goes on, I don't have it on the screen, but I'll read it to you. It's a specific characteristic where worry, you have a negative focus of the future. If you are a worrier, you are spending time speculating what may or may not happen. And here's the thing, you are fearing the worst. You are fearing the worst. You are fearing that this could potentially happen. You ever had a moment where you start with one thought and then you end with something completely different? Like when my son got sick, I was like, oh my gosh, he's sick. What are we going to do? And then for some reason, in like a span of like 10 seconds, I thought about him being homeless. Like, I don't know why. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, how do you go from your kid just having sniffles and a cold to now your kid is homeless? Like, how do you do that? Because what happens is sometimes when we allow anxiety in, sometimes anxiety wins. Anxiety begins to dominate our thoughts, and it begins to project a certain image, an image that is super unlikely. But for some reason, our brains can't wrap around the fact that it's not true. That's the anxiety that Jesus is talking about. And if you're that person, I want you to know Jesus is going to talk about how to deal with it in so many different layers. He's going to talk about how to deal with it, and he's going to go to certain people who have certain worries about certain things. Now, you can catch it in verse 25. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. And he says, do not worry about what you will eat, drink, your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Catch this. Jesus goes to the place where we value. Jesus goes to the place and he attacks our value systems. when he talks about food and the body and drinks, he's not saying those things aren't important. They just aren't priority. See, the thing is, whatever you make priority in your life, your values will follow it. Whatever you make priority in life, and that's the thing about worry. Worry sometimes exposes us. It exposes the place and exposes the things where we deeply are trusting in. Worry exposes those areas that we have misplaced trust into things that can't really fulfill or really do the things that God can actually do. Let me give you an example. For instance, a couple years ago, when I was at this job before I started here at the church, I was at this job and I was up for this promotion, and I remember being so excited for it. I remember my boss telling me, man, you're going to get this spot. It comes with an office. It comes with a parking spot. It comes with your name on the door. It comes with more salary, better benefits. Man, it's going to come for you. And I remember trusting what he told me. I remember internalizing and putting my hope into what he said. Until later on in the week, I saw that very office that I was going to fill, somebody else was stationed in there. And I remember telling myself, well, what am I going to do now? What's the reason of being here? I have no purpose. I have no meaning. And it's all because the thing that I trusted in let me down. And the thing that I put my hope in disappointed me. One of my favorite therapists says, one of the things why people struggle with anxiety is because we have a hard time getting over the disappointments that we face. We have a hard time getting over the despair and the disappointments that we face. And so what Jesus is doing, Jesus is talking about, listen, if you want to live with less worry, check your priorities. You want to live with less worry? Check your priorities. What are you centering your life around? Is your life centered around your money? Is your life centered around things? Is your life centered around people's approval? Is your life centered around how successful you are at your job? And here's the thing, friends. Jesus wants us to live with a different and greater purpose and priority in our lives. Notice when Jesus says, is not life more? Now, a better translation would say, isn't your soul important? Isn't your soul important? Because so many of us can spend time making priority over things and people and success and all of that, but spend less time working on ourselves. See, what I see Jesus saying, he's saying, listen, you want to live with less worry? Focus on who you are becoming. Put the investment on the person that you are called to be. Focus on being a better spouse. Focus on being a better dad. Focus on being a better employee. But what happens is the problem with worry is that it blinds us of our purpose. The problem with anxiety is that it's like a blinder. D.C. Carson says, worry is like turning off the lights. Anxiety is like turning off the lights, where it blinds us. And it keeps us from seeing and focusing on the right things. And Jesus says, here's the truth. You got to take priority in your life. You got to know what takes priority in your life. The things of this world or the things that I've called you to do. Because sometimes, now this may not be everybody. Sometimes our anxiety is due to our own doing. I know that makes you mad. I know you're probably like, all right, I'm ready to throw something at this preacher because y'all been real quiet with me lately. I know that makes you mad, but sometimes our anxiety, it's our fault. Our anxiety, now this isn't for everybody, but maybe I'm just talking about me. Sometimes I have to realize I'm overwhelmed because I'm overcommitted. And maybe that's you today. You're overwhelmed because you're part of Key Club, Ski Club. You got to pick up the kids at this time. You got to go to soccer practice. And then don't forget, you volunteered at the kitchen soup. And don't forget, you got to volunteer on this day. And don't forget, you got to go to work. You got to go home. You got to do this. Sometimes we got to stop and realize what's priority. Sometimes we got to stop and sit back and say, my life shouldn't be centered around all these things, but it should be centered around the things of God. Because sometimes my problem is that I create the problem. Only one person is with me today. Only one saved person. Only one. I know this is convicting, but that's the truth. Sometimes our anxieties are our fault. which means we got to step back and step back. All right, what's priority? Number one, my relationship with Christ, serving him in whatever capacity. Number two, my family. And you probably shouldn't have anything else after that. If you center your life around those two things, and guess what? The anxiety and the worry that we all struggle with, it won't take precedent and it won't dominate us like it used to before. So I heard one pastor say this, find out what you need to cut off in your life. And sometimes that's people. Sometimes it's people. Now, I'm not telling you to go to your job tomorrow and say, my pastor told me to quit this job because it caused me the worst. No, listen, you got to work too. Jesus feeds the birds, but guess what? The birds don't worry, but they do work. The birds do work, all right? Don't go to your job tomorrow and be like, Javon told me that I need to quit so I can be less anxious. But there are areas in our lives, there are real areas in our lives where we've taken too much precedent and we've made priority, and Jesus wants us to be free with that. And a helpful thing to resolve our worry is to transition our question to ask God to preserve us where we're getting it wrong. Say, God, show me the things that are important and show me the things that I just need to cut off. Show me and remind me that I don't need to be worried and stressed out about what they think and what they say, but help me to allow my life to have the right priorities. Because also the problem with anxiety, that it is the thief of joy. The anxieties are the thief of the joy that we have because it ruins our attitude. It ruins our attitude. Not only do you have negative thoughts, you begin to have negative actions. Craig Rochelle says this, you can never live a positive life if you always have negative thoughts. Negative thoughts creates negative actions. And sometimes our anxiety, now this is not everybody again, sometimes our anxiety it's starting to spill on other people, and we got to realize, and we got to come to the point where we say, the reason why God doesn't want me to be anxious, because it doesn't put me in a place where he wants me to be free. Doesn't put me in a place where he wants me to be free in my life. And I love that Jesus is telling us to check our priorities. Check what you value. Now, again, that's not everybody, but that is me today. And then he moves on to this next part. I love verse 26. Really, verse 26 and verse 28, we kind of got to read them together. They are the illustrations of why you shouldn't worry. Because I love Jesus. Jesus doesn't say, don't be worried. He says, don't be worried because of this. He doesn't say, hey, don't worry, because listen, that's incomplete. He says, don't worry because of this. And then he goes in verse 26. He says, look at the birds. Look at the birds. They don't have one worry in the world. I thought to myself, all right, should I take the time this week and study birds? Like, Jesus, are you telling me to go outside the Bible? Because I know you wouldn't tell me to do that, right, Jesus? But, you know, I did. But anyway, so I started studying birds, and I came across this one guy, and he says this. This is very interesting. I love this. He says he followed this one specific bird in South Africa, and he followed it for a week. And he says, this bird, or this specific bird that he followed, and I was like, bro, you need to get a better hobby. But anyway, he followed this bird, and he said this. He said, I've noticed that bird did the same thing every single day. And the one thing that bird didn't do, the one thing that bird was consistent on, was what it was called and supposed to do. He says, the bird always did what it was supposed to do. And that's the problem with worry, is that it doesn't keep us on the path and the purpose that our Heavenly Father has called us to be on. Because when Jesus says, look at the birds, and then look at the lilies, notice that he says this, the birds don't have a worry because they're fed by your Father. And he says, the lilies don't have a problem of growing and deceasing and growing again because there is a God in heaven that is creating all of this to make sure it happens. The God of heaven sustains the world. The God of heaven feeds the birds. The God of heaven takes care of the lilies. And that same God happens to be your Father. See, that's the real true point of this series. Real true point of this message. The reason why we shouldn't worry, or the reason why we shouldn't allow worry to dominate our lives, because God is our Father. God is our Father. I love that. Another quote D.A. Carson says, he says, worry gets you to the place where you have amnesia. because you begin to forget who your Heavenly Father is. And you begin to focus on the problem and not your Father who is in control of this whole entire thing. Now, here's the thing. I want to be clear about this, and I want to make this point. When you hear the word Father, I know for a lot of us, it makes us uncomfortable. I know for a lot of us, it gets us to a place because we think about our earthly dads. And you have some scars, and you got some wounds, and you got some things in your past, the things they didn't do, the things they should have done, the things that they hurt you with, whatever it may be. We all project this image of our earthly dads. And maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum. Maybe your dad was really good. Maybe you had a fine father, and he was there. He wasn't perfect, but he was helpful, whatever it may be. Here's the truth that I want you to know. In order for us to be free from anxiety, we have to realize and come to the truth that our Heavenly Father is greater, better, wiser, more loving, merciful than whatever we experience here on this earth. And if we can connect to that, we can begin to shift our focus off what is going on to the one who is controlling what is going on. Because sometimes what happens with worry is that I try to control the narrative so much. And Jesus says, you don't need to try to fight for control so you can manipulate and maneuver the outcome. He says, that's your Father's responsibility. And if my theology serves me correct, God is not the God of like multiple universes or multiple possibilities, I'm sorry. God is the God that says, listen, I've already established and accomplished what I have for you in your life. I've already purposed, and it's not your job to worry about the outcome. It's not your job to worry about what if and what if not. God says, it's already happened. You're going to eventually see it. And he says this. He says, your Heavenly Father feeds the birds. And if he does the things for the lesser things, he'll also do it for the greater things. And guess what category you fall in? The greater. The greater. Why? Because he values you. Listen, friends, that sounds very elementary. I get it. But if we come to this point and we go there with God and we realize God will and can secure, provide for me and my life. Why? Because I'm his child. I'm his child. I see Jesus kind of aligning our identity. And that's the reason why anxiety becomes a problem, because it knocks us off our identity. And Jesus says, listen, the truest thing about you is not the brokenness that you've been through. The truest thing about you is not the evil that you face. The truest thing about you isn't the things that the people that have hurt you. The truest thing about you is not your relationship status. It's not your social status. The truest thing about you is that in Christ, you are a beloved son and daughter of the Most High God. That's the truest thing about you. And if you would remember, that's how God sees you. Again, friends, anxiety will not own you. If you realize, listen, my Father values me. You know, the one thing about my son, I love having a kid because I get to preach about him all the time. I love doing that. You know what that little stinker doesn't have to worry about? Being fed. Because he knows, or he doesn't know, but he already expects that his parents will take care of him. When he wakes up in the morning and he's got that full diaper, who's going to change it? When he says, eat, eat, who's going to give him food? When he says, poo, poo, who's going to change him? Because he knows that there is a Father. He knows there is somebody there that's going to provide and take care of me no matter the needs that I have. And in the same way, God wants you and I to see ourselves in relationship with him like a son and a father or a daughter and a father of how he takes care of us. Why? Because he values us. He delights in taking care of you. He doesn't look over you. If God can clothe the grass, if God can feed the birds, why will he not take care of his most precious thing that he's ever created here on this earth? Friends, if we can align to this truth, then anxiety will not own us. You have a father. You can call him dad. You have a father. You can call him dad. Although he's infinite, he also wants to be intimate and personal with you. And that's what Jesus is trying to get us to connect to. Do not worry because of your Heavenly Father. Do not worry because he's controlling all things. And in all things, he's also sustaining and taking care of you. Because a lot of us got real scary things that we face. A lot of us got real scary things that we're facing right now. Real things that we're saying, okay, but what if this and what if that? And God wants you to know the truth of the matter is you have a Heavenly Father. And there are some things that you are meant to carry, and there are some things that you're not meant to carry. And the one thing you're not meant to carry is the outcome. The outcome is not your job. I love that David Guzik, he's a pastor from Canada. He talked about in his sermon that one day his son sat down with him, and his son was at 7 years old, and he told his dad, hey, Dad, we really need to talk. And he's like, I don't know why my seven-year-old son is telling me this, but they sit down and they talk, and his son says, Dad, I'm really worried about the electric bill this week. And David, he said, like, man, I got real offended. I wanted to say something, but the clearest thing that I just told my son is, that's not your concern, son. That's not for you to worry about. I will take care of that. And in the same way, your father tells us this. There are some things you can't control. There are some things that you need to know how to work through, which is who you are becoming, what you are doing, what you're making priority. There are some things you can't control. But then ultimately, there are some things you can't control either. Which is why Jesus says in verse 27, he says, who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? I love that. I love this by Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, he says this, our anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but it empties today of its strength. He says this, some of us are trying to move a situation and an outcome to happen. And here's the thing, it's going to make you more and more tired. And you can't be the husband, you can't be the father, you can't be the spouse, you can't be the person you're called to be because you're giving your energy and your strength into this area that you have no weight in. So essentially, Jesus is saying, worry doesn't work. Sure, I know it's all that you do, but at the end of the day, it doesn't do anything for you. So what is Jesus trying to get us to know? Jesus wants us to focus on today and give him our tomorrow. Did you notice at the end when Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow, for today has enough worry of it in and of itself? Did you notice that in the Lord's Prayer, and he says this, he says, give us this day. Chet talked about it last week. Because how many of us are focused on tomorrow and we miss today? We're all futuristic people. We're all thinking about tomorrow, and we don't have enough energy for today. And in order for us to live in this way, we have to surrender and submit and give over our tomorrows. Pretty much, in order to do what you need to do today, you got to give God your tomorrow. Because some of us have a real thing that we're really worried about. Some of us have an obstacle. Some of us have that thing that, man, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to look. I don't know what's going to happen after all of this. You have a real problem in your life, and God may be telling you, it's not your concern. Give it to me. Because if you are focused on the tomorrow, you're going to miss my provision today. You're going to miss what I have for you today. And I love Charles Spurgeon says this. He says, surrender is the backbone for every Christian. We got to get to a point where whatever you're facing, you have to tell yourself, it's still here, but God will give me strength and give me the ability to plow through this, but he can only give me strength today when I surrender to him my tomorrow. He can only give me strength today when I surrender to him tomorrow. And friends, that takes faith. That takes faith. And God wants us to live by faith. A part of your belief is to say to yourself, there are some things in my life that are just not in my control. There are some things in my life that are just not my concern. And my job is to trust my Heavenly Father, not just to do it, but that he has already established it. that he has already made a way, that he has already set a marker, that he's not creating it, but friends, it's already there. And it's not my job to try to control the narrative. My job is to live the story that God is writing in my life today. Because a lot of us like to fight and take the pen from God. Sometimes we got to let God be the author. We got to let God be the author. See, I believe this to my very core, that in order to endure the anxiety, we have to release some things that we have no control over. In order to live free from anxiety, we got to release some expectations. Because sometimes I live my life expecting that it's my job to change and force the outcome. Sometimes my expectation is that my life is going to be easy and comfortable. And what God wants us to do, he wants us to release our expectation so we can live in the anticipation that God will fulfill his promises. And here's the thing about your father. Not only does he value you, not only is he a creator, but friends, he's faithful. 8,810 is the number I want to say. If you're taking down notes, I want you to take this, write this down. 8,810. What does that mean? There are over 8,000 promises in the Bible. Over 8,000 promises. There are over 8,000 promises God makes to his people, to certain people that are in the Bible. Do not worry. Do not be afraid. I will be with you wherever you go. Do not be dismayed. I will give you strength. There is new mercy for you in the morning. 8,810. And guess what? God is faithful to fulfill every single one. And the truth is, he will not start with you by not fulfilling what he's promised. God is faithful to his promise. God wants us to live in the anticipation that he will do what he's already set for our lives. That he will do what he's already planned for you in our lives. That he will fulfill that thing that he's already set for you. So I know that a lot of us sit back and say, well, that doesn't really fix anything. That doesn't really change anything. Well, guess what? Maybe the real change is within you. Maybe the real change that God wants to set is a change that starts with you. Maybe instead of trying to change the outcome and trying to manipulate the situation, the real change begins within. Do not worry. Do not worry. And if your father does all these things, guess what? Your father will make sure he fulfills his promises to you today. His promises to us today. Because I love how Tony Evans says this. God wants to show you that he's faithful. God wants to show you that he's faithful. That means this. He will put us in situations that will take for us to say to ourselves, all right, there's nothing I can really do about this. There's nothing I can do about this situation. I guess God is trying to show me that he's faithful again. And friends, that has been my whole petition for this whole entire year, is that whatever problem that I have, and whenever I realize I can't do anything about it, I say to myself, my father wants to show me he's faithful to me. So the next time I face another situation, the next time I'm worried about a situation, I can be reminded that my father came through for me before, and guess what? He'll do it for me again. Then that's the promises that he wants us to live in. That the father is faithful to his children. That he will fulfill every promise in our lives. That we don't have to worry. We don't have to try to control the outcome. The outcome is already his. And guess what? It gives him glory, and it's for your joy. And it will show you that he is faithful to the end. Let's say a prayer. Father, a tough topic to talk about. A topic that just makes us think, man, there's no way to really overcome this. A topic that makes us think, man, there's really no way through this. a topic that we wake up thinking about the things and we go to sleep thinking about things. A topic that just paralyzes us. A topic that leaves us hopeless. But I love that your word provides us truth that we don't just have to deal with this anxiety, that you show us a way to overcome it. So, Father, this week, in the moments where we face anxiety, help us to connect to this truth that we have a Father. Help us to connect to this truth that our Father is faithful. Help us to connect to this truth that our Father has already established and worked out the outcome. That our Father has already established the things that are called to happen, which is going to give him glory, but also, most importantly, is going to be for our joy. And help us to be focused on this week on who we are becoming. Help us to be focused on this week on who we are becoming in our lives and the people that you have called us to be. Help us to control the things we're called to control. And help us to give over the things we can't control to you. Help us to walk in more freedom. Help us to eliminate things so we can be less stressed. Help us to know what takes priority in our lives. Help us to see those things so that we can be free from anxiety. And Father, I know that you have a word for each and every one of us today to remind us that you're faithful to your promise. And Father, in order for us to have this peace, we have to hand over our greatest concerns to you. So Father, I want that peace. The peace that surpasses all my understanding. It's a peace that guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I want that peace. And you tell me in return, you want my concerns. So I give it to you. And I completely give it to you. It's not my job to handle it. It's my job to focus on who I'm becoming today. Help me to be focused on today while I hand you my tomorrow. It's in your son's wonderful and perfect name is who we pray. Amen.
Stand one more time with us.